When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
HarperCollins presents Her Majesty's Royal Coven by Juno Dawson.
Neve, Helena, Elle, and Leonie, four lifelong friends who also happen to belong to the oldest coven in the United Kingdom. When oracles predict the genocide of all witches, the women must choose where their allegiances lie, with the coven or with each other. The New York Times called Her Majesty's Royal Coven superb and charming. From best-selling author Juno Dawson comes a brand new fantasy trilogy for fans of A Discovery of Witches or The Craft. Out now in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Nicola Coughlan, star of Bridgerton.
Her Majesty's Royal Coven by Juno Dawson.
Hello and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. This week, because it's a new season, it's just family. So you're listening to Dirty Martini Juno Dawson and Dirty Bastard Dylan B. Jones. Welcome back, Dylan.
Hi, welcome back.
Did you know that was coming? Did you see that one coming?
As soon as I heard the word dirty, I was like, oh, yes, I know what's coming.
I'm sorry I made you Dirty Bastard, not Dirty Martini.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's fitting. Yeah, we're back. It's been quite a long break.
We had earned that break, though.
We did.
So Dylan and I have been at a clinic in Switzerland recovering from Unjust Like That. we needed trauma counselling.
We've been presided over by Jonathan Groff.
Oh my God. I'd forgotten about that. I'm re-triggered.
I got a bit re-triggered in this episode. Well, we won't get ahead of ourselves, but there's a very obscure link back to And Just Like That in this episode, which I wonder if you spotted or knew about.
Because I also have a link to make, but possibly not the one.
I've got a couple of links, so we'll see. There's a couple of Easter eggs, a couple of deep dive Easter eggs.
I do love an Easter egg. So this week, Dylan and I watched season 5, episode 1, Anchors Away. Anchors Away. So context for perhaps more weekend fans. Season 5 is not a full season. In America, when it first aired, they called it the bonus season. This is clearly a lie. The reason it was a short season was because both Cynthia Nixon and Sarah Jessica Parker were on parental leave, Sarah Jessica Parker, as we will see through this short series, is increasingly obviously pregnant. They go to some really extravagant lengths to conceal her pregnancy, including ugly autumnal shade roll neck angora sweaters.
Yes, and that's why she's always wearing things that fit tightly at the top and then sort of like slightly absurdly billow out at the bottom.
Yeah.
That
chenille roll neck might be my least favourite Carrie Bradshaw garment
thinking,
of all time.
I was thinking that with like the 3/4 length trousers and the pointy shoes. No. I also can't take her hair seriously in this season. There's something about like a short curly bob. I think it's because they're always in motion. So short curly bobs. And it always reminds me of like Matilda's, like the mum from Matilda.
Or Annie. Little orphan Annie. Yeah. It's like a throwback.
Little Annie. SJP's first
I believe it was.
Role?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because it feels petty and shallow to comment on the hair, which she miraculously styles under a hand dryer at one point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I believe that was done under the hair dryer.
I assure you it was not. That is absolutely. I mean, I screamed. I hollered. I screamed so many times during this episode. There are lots of the fuck moments. But yeah, no, the hair. I mean, when it was all curly, I thought it looked quite chic. But when she'd kind of gone for that kind of blowout sort of...
Yeah, it was...
I don't even know what to compare it to, because it's not Hillary Clinton hair.
I was looking for a time period. I was going to... And then I couldn't find one in my head. I was like, is it quite 90s? Is it quite 70s? It's sort of like, what is it? I don't know.
Just, I think... I wonder if very quickly SJP regretted getting the haircut. Sometimes, and I know this, as somebody who has naturally curly hair, the shorter you cut it, just the springier it gets. And so actually, when God, this is boring, great podcast chat. The longer it is, the more weight it has. So it kind of pulls it down. So
I see, right.
The longer that it kind of manages itself, kind of.
Right.
And so, you know, when she cut the hair off in season 4, I quite liked it. But but yeah, no, this is not chic. In fact, it's quite granny.
Yes, it is a bit granny.
Well, I mean, we're ahead of ourselves. We're already into Carrie's roots. Let's have a potted synopsis first.
Okay, so it is Fleet Week in New York, and it's a very... There's a fifth character this week. And that character is Manhattan.
Shocking.
yeah. But it's very that. It's like peak Carrie Bradshaw.
This whole episode is really peak. But I want to talk about... I have a TED Talk for later in this episode. Okay. But go forth.
She loves New York. It's a very dreamy, but also volatile version of New York. It's also a more diverse New York. Mm-hmm. We have not one, not two, but three named people of colour characters.
Wow.
Well, not named. We have two speaking, three featured, and two named, I think. All of them are single. Is that right? Yeah. All of them are single. But Miranda is, I thought, really interesting and touching for Miranda this week. Yeah. She's feeling like sort of FOMO and insecure because she has the baby to deal with, the new baby, and I'm sure a lot of new mothers can identify with that feeling. Charlotte is kind of sort of philosophically getting over Trey, thinking about whether she should sleep with someone. Samantha is just
amazing.
Iconic. We'll get to that. And Carrie is, I mean, for the first time possibly ever, not much for Carrie this week. Like, what does she do? She just sort of like, you know,
I'll tell you
around.
What she does, Dylan. Like some sort of woman possessed by a wide-eyed Victorian orphan, she skips around the city, smiling at things to herself, like some sort of unhinged, unhealed child woman.
So my friend James always makes fun of me for how much I love London and go on about it. And he sent me this episode once as an example of how I am when I'm at my worst. He was like, this is you when you're at your worst with London.
But then, okay, so rewind. So when I was in my... So what is Carrie doing this episode? So she's single... And one of actually the themes of this very short 8-episode season is Carrie's loneliness. And actually, quite on purpose, I think, they keep her single for the whole thing. We're about to arrive at the Jack Berger years. But But, you know, they keep her single, I think, on Possible, because I think by this point, everyone knew that we preferred it when Carrie is single. And so I think they chose quite deliberately to explore Carrie's relationship with singledom.
Yeah.
And I think this episode tackles that. And we see the first doubts of Carrie setting in, which is, does she want to be single forever? I read a very wonderful piece last week from Dolly Alderton. I love Dolly Alderton's advice column in the Sunday Times. I know the Sunday Times is transphobic trash, but Dolly Alderton is not, and I love her, and her column is wonderful and very wise. Uh-huh. And it was about some advice to a woman who feared she was always going to be single because she hadn't had a relationship in 5 years. And Dolly kind of wrote the modern requiem to this episode, which is, being single, Dolly wrote, has enabled her to understand herself. And it isn't about her Carrie Bradshaw relationship with Manhattan. It was about Dolly feels going into her 30s. She knows herself really well. And if she had focused a lot of her energy on a romantic partner, she might not have had such a deep understanding of herself. And I think that's kind of what this season of Sex and the City is trying to do. It's trying to look at Carrie's relationship with herself and her relationship with romantic love and how much she has invested in romantic love. And so it is nice, and I applaud them for showing a single woman enjoying being single, because the first 4 seasons have pretty much exclusively revolved around Carrie's quest to find a man.
Yeah.
And I remember being in my 20s when I was in Brighton and all my friends were coupled up and I was the weird chaos agent. You know, I would also embody this, and I'd be like, Brighton is my boyfriend. You know,
you'd be going around the vintage shops in the lanes.
Literally, you know. That. Oh God, embarrassing. You've read me there, because that was literally what I did. Like, if I had a Sunday and all my friends were off doing, like, oh, we're getting to see my boyfriend's family, I would be like, who needs a boyfriend when Brighton is your boyfriend? I'm going to Snooper's Paradise in the North Lanes, and then I'm going to take myself for an ice cream at Morocco's Ice Cream Parlor on Hove Seafront. Like,
no doubt slightly inspired by Carrie.
Oh, 100%. Was it slightly? But, and what's interesting is, a bit like this season, a lot of it was, I was a little bit lonely, but I'll tell you what people were not admitting to in 2008, and that was loneliness. Whereas
that's true.
I think there is a very, especially post-pandemic, there is a very different conversation to be had around loneliness.
You can see with the there is a lot of love talk in this episode, particularly in the brunch scene at the beginning. And I thought it was really interesting when Charlotte says the phrase, great love.
Yes.
You can just, very briefly cuts to Carrie, and you can see her sort of, you can see the cogs, like Charlotte's like planted a seed, and Carrie's like, ooh, great love. Oh, I quite like that idea, actually. Mm. Even though she poo-poos, and then she then like poo-poos Charlotte.
Well, I mean, Charlotte does walk right into that trap, doesn't she? I mean, I read somewhere in a magazine, you get 2 great loves. Like, and what is it, Miranda calls it convenient theories for you monthly.
Yeah. But I also love it, like, she gives, like, it's a very like Charlotte Whiplash moment. Like, she gives Samantha great advice. She's like, you need to stop dwelling on Richard, and then you need to cut him out of your life. And it's like, yes, good. And then in the next breath she's like, because you only get 2 great loves. And it's like, oh, you ruined it.
Isn't it interesting to see Charlotte like not being normal? Like, because you know how, and it was noted that her performance in And Just Like That was quite strange.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
In the words of Demi Lovato.
Well, so it's funny. I mean, maybe there was a bit of that sort of starting to creep in, a bit slightly more mannered. But we'll come to them in turn. Like, let's stick with Carrie for now. So Carrie trips through New York.
Trots.
The wind machine is out, blowing up her skirt, and
we've got a Paris connection. She goes to see that French film.
Oh, it's very much being foreshadowed at this point, isn't it? I think by this point they knew where it was going to end up.
And I looked up that French film, and I don't think it exists. Two for Joy
for two, for one.
For one.
Okay.
Yeah, I googled it and it didn't exist.
Just madness. It's what you don't. Oh, actually, you do see with the man she gets trapped under the awning with, is the real people of New York just not having like, her bullshit. Just like, what the fuck?
I loved that scene so much when she's like, just kidding, I do want to get married. And he's like, fucking hell, like, who is this absolute nutter?
I like to imagine he's a gay guy as well. And he's come from his chill out. And he has to get to work after a 3-day meth weekend. And then he is trapped with a mad woman.
Who's saying, I love the way the rain smells.
Oh no, she is in the pantheon of manic pixie dream girls. I think if we were to kind of draw that, you know, that she is, there is.
It's like her, like Zooey Deschanel, I don't know, maybe Drew Barrymore. Yeah,
Cameron Diaz in lots of films as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
but I mean, just again, I love the smell of the earth after rain. What? I mean, that's right there on Manic Pixie Dream Girl 101, right there with kind of.
And
like...
then she says the unpredictable weather is all part of the fun, and it's like, oh no, it's not, as you're about to find out, Carrie.
But so this is the point where she realizes that possibly being in a romantic relationship with a city is not ideal because it's not a person. Although she just tried, so we have lots of personification in this episode. If you are doing your key stage 2 English right now, personification is when you apply human traits to non-human things. And Carrie is doing a lot of that with Manhattan because she goes to pains to explain how, you know, New York can be wildly romantic and fun, but also it's unpredictable and it can be grueling. Yeah.
Everything's like a man. It can be like a man, New York is, or like a man, Manhattan is.
Oh, it's like a poem. Yeah. In fact, it's like a Key Stage 2 poem. And then she meets my favorite character from all 6 seasons of Sex and the City, who is the lithium ice cream lady.
Yes.
Love her.
Oh, I love this.
Marty. Is it Marty? Marty, 1982.
I used to be like you.
And this is, I mean, but the thing is, so now, whereas in 2002, Ice Cream Lithium Lady was a cautionary tale for single women. I find her aspirational now.
Yes, same.
I'm just like, God, you know, if Max dies prematurely, thrilled with that.
That's what you'll be doing.
Get my lithium, get my ice cream, plague the staff of an ice cream, what is it, a matzo ball shop, just like, they know me here. Just kind of like, yeah, I bet they do.
So Carrie meets, yeah, so she's an eccentric older lady who Carrie meets in a cafe while they're sheltering from the rain. And yeah, like we've just said, she's supposed to be a but doesn't that say so much, though, that now about how the world's changed, that she was a warning and now she's a mood?
Like, I fully aspire. I suspect the actress is probably one of those kind of like well-known faces of perhaps like the 60s. She's called Sylvia Miles. Do we know who she is? Shall we do a Google?
Do you know what? I wondered about Googling her because I did wonder if she was like maybe an iconic old comedian or something. Oh, yeah. She's been nominated for 2 Oscars.
Oh, wow.
Born in 1924.
She died in 2019.
Sylvia Miles. Shout out to Sylvia Miles. She was in Midnight Cowboy.
I love her.
I love this. Do you know what? She reminds me slightly of my grandma who lives in Boston. Like, my grandma.
Oh, wow. Oh, amazing.
Quite that vibe, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with this woman. She began her career in 1947. She was in the Dick Van Dyke Show pilot. So she was recast.
Wow.
She was in Midnight Cowboy.
She played Meryl Streep's mother in She-Devil.
Oh my goodness. This woman is amazing.
We bow down to you, Sylvia Miles.
Sylvia Miles, rest in peace.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
In a New York restaurant in 1973, Miles publicly dumped a plate of food onto critic John Simon's head for his negative comments about her in a review of a play she starred in. Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. Love her. So she's fan favorite. And then by the end, Carrie slur dances with a very beautiful man who I believe is called Louis.
Yes.
Yep.
And played by Daniel Sunjata from The Devil Wears, James Holt from The Devil Wears Prada.
That's where I know him from. Yes, what a beautiful man. You know these beautiful men that Carrie just never ended up with?
He's also, I think, Carrie's only ever person of colour romance love interest, I think.
Yeah.
Also, did you notice there's an Easter egg here with his character? Louis from Louisiana, she refers to him as.
Oh, wow. And not Louise from St.
And
Louis.
And then we have Louise from St. Louis. Very similar. But I don't know if that counts as an Easter egg. I think it maybe is just lazy writing.
Haven't we already done this joke? Yeah.
And also, is it...
Do it again.
Is it a joke? What is it?
And she has a slur dance with him. He's very sort of polite and gentlemanly.
Yeah.
And then she dumps him because he says he doesn't like New York. With the slightly cringe and possibly a little bit, using African American vernacular, that she can't have anyone talking shit about her boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, when she said "ain't nobody," I was like, oh, don't do that.
Different time, Dylan. Different time. She was talking about Ghetto Gold last year. Oh. So I mean, this is a woman who refers to Ghetto Gold. So
I just find unspeakably, very occasionally, like I'll be around a white person who does that, like tries to do that, like talk, and I'm just like, oh no, I want the ground to swallow me up.
I mean, God, there's a whole other podcast entirely, but the circle of life. With sort of cultural awareness, cultural appreciation, cultural appropriation, the kind of the circle of life which led from Paris is Burning and the ballroom circuit in New York, how that's filtered down to white drag queens, how it's come through white drag queens to white women and white gay men. And you know, these things do, and you sort of, there is sort of a point where you do have to have that kind of cultural reckoning about, you know, is there a difference between somebody who recognises the way that we have acquired language from, you know, black LGBTQ people in the 80s and 90s, and somebody who's just like thinks it's fine to go around saying, ain't nobody talking shit about my boyfriend. And you're kind of like, I'm not sure.
I just find it, apart from anything else, I just find it unbearably cringe.
Cringe. Like, so cringe. So cringe.
Should we have a break?
I think we should. Yeah. Because I hate you. Nigel! Yeah. I love you. Okay, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll talk about Miranda, Samantha, and Charlotte, and booze. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week, Dylan and I have been discussing Season 5, Episode 1, Anchors Away. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to... I think we should talk about Miranda, because you're right. Her story... Actually, in many ways, this is her episode,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, like she, because when I was thinking about, because I always think about what I'm going to say for the Potted synopsis when I'm watching it, and I was like, I know what I'm going to say about Miranda, but I'm not really sure what I'm going to say about the other three, because like, Miranda's got like a serious grounded storyline, yeah. And the other three are just sort of like running around town.
Flashing boobs. I mean, but I'm glad Miranda is at the centre of this story, because she has been through something truly, truly life-changing. And there must have been lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of conversations about whether or not to bring a baby into the group, because then it's a bit like bringing a pet into a TV show. What the fuck do you do with it?
Yeah.
You know, once it's there, you know, it, you know, you can't, you know, expect Miranda to be out for brunch 5 days a week with her girlfriends when she has a 3-week-old baby.
And I find that often when babies get brought into TV shows, the baby sort of is there for like a couple of episodes and then like disappears.
Oh, hello, Ross and Rachel's baby and Friends.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute.
Who was looking after that child?
Where's the baby? And also, I mean, we can get into this, but that reminds me, like, not to in any way invalidate Miranda's struggle with motherhood, but I did realise, like, at the beginning, I was like, okay, so she's got Lena the baby nurse, she's got Magda, and she's got Steve. Mm-hmm. So she does have it a lot easier than a lot of single mums.
But it's not like the
baby Olympics. Like, we don't have to, like, do you know what I mean? Oh, like, it's not a competition. No. But
although in the end they acknowledge this in Sex and the City 2, a film which doesn't exist, remember, but if it did exist, I imagine there would be a scene where Charlotte and Miranda discuss how difficult being a mother is,
yeah,
while also acknowledging they both have full-time paid-for help.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just briefly talk about Lena, the baby nurse. Amazing. Her reaction to a cat getting a bit of scab,
like waving her hands,
is
around
the mirth. Shall we do? I mean, again, if only this was a visual medium, maybe we need to take pictures for Instagram, but I would describe it as this.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they were not paying that woman to speak, because you have to pay speaking characters more.
Yeah.
You have to pay speaking a voice actors more. But
also, is this the only time we see her? Like, I'd forgotten that she was, that there was a baby nurse, to be honest.
I think it might be. Obviously, increasingly, Magda kind of becomes cleaner / nanny / therapist, kind of. But I thought, and it's interesting, you know, a couple of friends of mine, a couple of really good friends of mine have just had babies, both women with partners, but both work full time at the moment. Everybody's on parental leave. And what's interesting is they are exactly the kind of mother that I would be, which is have made a commitment to keeping their life because we love our life.
Yeah.
While at the same time acknowledging a baby changes everything.
Yeah.
And how do you reckon with that when you really, really love the life you have created for yourself and you really want a baby, how do you make it work? And it's really interesting watching my friends figure that out. I don't envy them because it looks like extraordinarily hard work. Mm. But I think Miranda speaks to me on that level about, you're right, it is a kind of affirmer. But the scene where Carrie swings by for about 3 minutes with pan au chocolat.
Pan au chocolat.
Pan au chocolat. It's a fucking chocolate croissant, Carrie. You can get them anywhere. Chill out.
I felt like Cynthia Nixon, as always, amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I was so kind of touched by it because she did it in a way, and the script did it in a way that we can all sort of identify with. Like, I think we've all had moments of like I said earlier, like essentially FOMO. And she portrayed that kind of like anxiety and like frustration really well. And she was just kind of, and at brunch as well, when she said, nothing has to change, like, and she was really desperate to let them all know. And I just, I found it quite, heartbreaking is a bit strong, but I found it very touching.
And as well, it says a lot culturally about the way that once the woman is a mother, that's all she will ever be ever again. Mm. Even when we go back to sort of like pagan belief of millions of years ago, you know, you have the sort of the maid and the mother and the crone are like the three ages of woman, kind of. And, you know, I can see why anybody would resent that, that everything you are becomes sort of reduced to one word, which is mother. And Carrie does say, Miranda, you're a mother, don't worry, I won't tell anyone, which is sweet in a way. But at the same time, you can see why Miranda would be desperate for things to be normal. And I mean, on one hand, it's kind of wild that Carrie is coming over to, what was it, Witter about? Oh, her two great love hypothesis with pan au chocolat. And, you know, clearly Miranda is really struggling. Brady won't breastfeed. And Carrie's wanging on about herself. Of course she's wanging on about herself.
Also, Carrie should have stayed. Like, Miranda clearly wanted her to stay. But Carrie was like, no, I'm going to go out and trot around by myself and, like, go to the Guggenheim and just leave you alone.
But the thing is, so my initial reaction was to slag off Carrie for just being a self-involved madam. But a couple of weeks ago, and I hope my friend won't mind me sharing this, I went to a concert with one of my friends who's just had a baby. And I met their baby for the first time. So, so cute, so adorable. But at the same time, I didn't just want to be like, tell me about your breasts. Mm. Tell me about the sleeping patterns. Where did you get this cute baby garment? Because I was trying to signal to my friend, I still see you.
Yeah.
I don't just now see you as kind of like, as like livestock, kind of. You know, I want to talk about the band we're going to go see. I want to talk about, you know, all the other gossip. What have you been watching on TV? Mm. What are you reading? I wonder if that's what Carrie is trying to do in that situation. If Carrie is aware that Samantha kind of shut her out. So maybe on this occasion, Carrie's MO was to go around and be kind of like, I'm going to treat Miranda as if things are still the same.
Yeah. And she did say, she was like, you know, I'm just talking, like, and you don't have to. Yeah, that was actually quite good when she was like, you don't have to say anything back. Like, I'm just talking. Like, don't feel any. She didn't say this, but the implication was like, don't feel any pressure. Like, which, yeah, that is good, actually, to be fair to Caroline.
So, yeah, we liked Miranda. Although it's interesting that she referred to Steve as not an earthshaker.
Yeah, quite mean.
quite mean, but also, you know, Che Diaz was.
Yeah.
And maybe there was always something missing with Steve and Miranda. And it's only now we're starting to understand possibly what that might have been. Although, obviously, over the course of this season, it's really when Miranda's feelings towards Steve will change. Mm. Quite significantly.
I enjoyed with the incident with the was it the bit of the umbilical cord that was left on the baby. I really for some reason enjoyed the voiceover because it was so stupid when it cut from Fleet Week to that, and the voiceover was, meanwhile another woman found herself in a confusing naval situation.
I mean, a reach.
Just so stupid.
But well done everyone. Yeah. Shall we talk about Samantha and Richard Wright?
Yes.
Because that is iconic in a different way. Carry On, Ma'am, is one of those moments I think everybody would remember as being like peak Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Kind of, because it's just Miranda, like, while Miranda is dealing with the very real issue of how not to lose yourself in becoming a first-time mother, Samantha is papering a neighborhood and referring to, this man ate another woman's pussy and told me he loved me. Like, sure, but yeah.
Carry on, ma'am. The police officer who says that is Chandra Wilson, who plays Dr. Bailey in Grey's Anatomy alongside Sara Ramirez.
Yeah. Wow, the extended multiverse of madness.
I'm not sure where Seema fits into it all, but I'm sure she's in that. I'm sure she guessed
the Homeland Grey's Anatomy.
I'm sure someone from Homeland guest starred in Grey's Anatomy at some point. It's been running for about 100 years. So.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I imagine all of them, because Cynthia Nixon has definitely been in Grey's Anatomy. I've seen that episode.
Oh, really?
She plays a coma patient, I think, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. But yeah.
Oh, was she in ER? Hang on. Cynthia Nixon was in one of them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was ER. Oh, well.
I love when Samantha's like going to see another ridiculous line, when Samantha's like champing at the bit to go and see the sailors, and Carrie's like, hold on there, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, no, it was, and again, Kim Cattrall, so good.
The outfit when she storms into Sushi Samba, amazing.
With the super, super straightened hair, with the wind in the hair.
So,
I love that.
So noughties, like, just so amazing. Like, loads of gold and, like, muted tones. And then, of course, throwing the drink in Richard's face and saying, dirty martini.
I have...
Dirty bastard.
Dirty bastard. And cut to Carrie saying, I have always wanted to do that. Yes. Oh, haven't we all? Haven't we
well,
all
I was gonna
wanted
ask
to do
you,
that?
I was going to ask you, have you ever done it? Throwing a drink
no,
in someone's face?
Because I'm sane! although I had, again, a couple of friends, different friends, both gay men, once had a bit of a tete-a-tete in a pub years and years and years ago where one of my friends accused my other friend of bringing trade to the bar. Like, he said, oh, is this your trade?
Oh my God.
And my friend didn't hurl a drink in his face, but did slap his drink out of his hand like this.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's God, one day that will appear in a script that I have written. Yeah,
I the only example I can think of it happening was my friend Hannah Lou, who is an amazing drag queen who lives in New York. Shout out to Hannah. She was visiting and we were just having pre-drinks and my friend Cheska was over and Cheska was like chatting to Hannah and Cheska was like and Hannah was like drinking out of a martini glass and Cheska was like, wouldn't it be so, imagine if you just like threw that in my face. And then she did. And we were all,
wow.
We were all, so for a minute I looked at Cheska and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she just did that. But it was so ridiculous that everyone just burst out laughing. So yeah.
Wow, impulse control. Yeah. Look it up. Look her up.
Yeah.
Whew. I had little tolerance for Richard Wright in season four.
Mm.
Post the sushi eating.
Yeah.
No. But then sometimes that does happen. I took back a man once who had not cheated on me, but he'd been sending thousands of messages to men on the apps, kind of. And I still kind of agreed to kind of give that one another go.
Mm.
Stupid bitch. I wish I hadn't now. It didn't end well. Oh well.
But you know, you can't blame yourself. Like, you just, sometimes you just do. Like, you just can't resist giving it another go for whatever reason.
Well, because you feel like you are in love.
Yeah.
You sort of feel like, yeah, gosh. And maybe as well, I mean, I don't know how many chances is too many chances. Maybe everybody deserves a second chance, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And last of all, Charlotte, who doesn't really do a lot. She changes the name on her front door and shows a sailor a boob.
Which buys her a good another 3 months in Charlotte's view. Mm. I love the little Anthony cameo that we get.
Yes. So good. When because at this stage, Anthony still feels really fresh.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all works.
When he's like,
when did you last have gym? 10:30 the gym this morning.
10:30
Oh, wow.
And then it just made me laugh like so unprovoked when she talks about like Carrie. She's like, oh, we should go and see that French film that Carrie saw, and Anthony's like, fuck the French. Like, I need to spend an afternoon looking at that drippy shit. It's like just kind of so like, okay, wow.
Yeah. I did really not enjoy Charlotte's Burberry hat.
Oh no, awful. Yeah.
What was the purpose of that hat?
Yeah, it was awful.
I don't. And the sailor was checking you out, was he? Or was he repulsed by the hat? Difficult to say. Oh, we haven't answered Carrie's question.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. What is it? It is.
It's have we missed the boat when it comes to being single or something?
Carefree single girls. Have we missed the boat?
Have we missed the boat? It's an interesting question that doesn't really have an awful lot to do with the episode. I'm trying to work out if there is even an answer, because I think amazing Sylvia Miles shows you can be carefree and single for your whole life. And I must admit, I realise I'm saying this from my lofty position as a married woman, but I'm not here to elevate being single or being attached over anything else. You know, I think, and we've said this before, there are as many benefits to being single as there are to being in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think I've seen too many, particularly women, I've seen too many women stay in really toxic relationships out of sheer fear of being single, like the great unknown of being single. And actually the great unknown in itself is exciting and adventurous and full of opportunity. And that's, you know, as has been said a gazillion times, perhaps the greatest failing of Sex and the City is that it resolved with all four of them being attached.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a big fail for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about it as well. I think, have we missed the boat? It's weird. I thought it was weird to me that Carrie was saying it, because none of them have missed the boat. Like, they've been on the boat for, like, quite a while. So it could be that you're on the boat for a bit and have a great time, and then it comes into, like, a lovely scenic port, and that's your
like
relationship.
Like a cruise. Yeah. Like a delightful cruise. Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think... like what you said is the most important thing to remember, which is we're not here to, you know, single or not single, it shouldn't make a difference really. They're just different. They're not, one's not better than the other.
I mean, is she saying, is the sort of the hidden question within the question that there's something unseemly about being single in your 30s or 40s, whereas being single in your 20s is almost ideal, isn't it? And I've said that recently to some younger friends, which is, young hearts run free, you know, kind of use your 20s to have your adventures, you know, kind of go out and sow your wild oats.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what she's saying, which is basically, are we now too old to be single, given that when Fleet Street rolls in, I mean, there is a suggestion that in Fleet Street's past, you know, they were running around Times Square looking for sailors to shag.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Why don't we have Fleet Week? Maybe we should just go down to Portsmouth and just fuck a sailor. I don't know.
I feel like it wouldn't be the same in Portsmouth.
What gives you that impression? I don't know.
No shade, no shade to Portsmouth.
There's an amazing designer outlet village called Gunkey Wharf. I love Portsmouth. You can go up the tower thing and see the view. And that's cute as well.
I really wanted to go to that party at the end. That was amazing. I was like,
it does look fun, yeah.
Yeah, I want to be at that party.
I mean, monkeypox super spreader event, for sure. But it does look really fun. I think I want to say sort of emphatically that being single can be a really magical thing.
Yeah.
At any age, Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
She's not started mourning yet. I think we've got another 3 episodes before she starts talking about her palpable loneliness. Oh. So let's hang on in there.
Great.
So in the meantime, keep watching. Do buy my book. So my book is out. My book is nearly out, Dylan. After 2 years, Her Majesty's Royal Coven is almost with us. Thank you to everyone who has pre-ordered. Release date in the UK is July 21st. And if you are listening from America, Her Majesty's Royal Coven is already out. The Barnes & Noble Book of the Month. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I know. I'm legit now. And yeah, do look out for it as well. If you're listening to this live, look out for my upcoming book tour as well. It'd be really, really lovely to meet some podcast listeners. Mm. I'm going all around the UK. So do keep your eyes peeled on our social media for the tour dates as well. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And we will see you next week where we take on Steve Brady's Catholic guilt in Original Sin. Hooray!
This season is funny to me. I like it. Season 5.
Yeah, I mean, and as well, also so short. You know, it's not going to outstay its welcome. Yeah, so,
unlike some seasons I can think of. Season 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, season 4 was endless. Wasn't it? But yes, a little. And I think it's an interesting... Oh, I never gave my TED talk. I'll save it for next week.
Oh,
I will save my TED, because actually... Spoiler alert, Original Sin's not an episode anybody is going to remember.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to save my little TED talk about why season 5 is the beginning of the end.
Oh, interesting.
Look forward to that. There you go.
Okay.
Right. Okay, until next week, take care, everyone. Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.